Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the only daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, available on iTunes, on Audio Boom, wherever podcasts are found. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, and I'm excited, as always, to be with you all here on, what is it now, Thursday, as we get deeper into training camp for the New Orleans Pelicans. Their second day of practices, they're doing two-a-days right now, so they started training camp on Tuesday, had two-a-days there. We were there after the first practice, and now we're moving on to more contact type of practices. They're getting into the gritty side of things a little bit more. No more walkthroughs talking about things, but really actually starting to play. We were doing 5-on-5 drills and playing yesterday. So there was contact. They weren't just walkthroughs. And really, when you think about it, that's right, because this is a limited training camp. With the NBA season starting much earlier, training camp's limited. Preseason games, there's fewer than in the past. I'm going to actually talk about all of that in the impact it has on the Pelicans, because Alvin Gentry commented on that yesterday. So we've got a lot to break down. This is just kind of be a grab bag of notes from Pelicans training camp thus far, through day two, but there's still a lot to take away. Always going to be something going on with this team, a very interesting experiment. So let's just kind of get to everything in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. The first topic I want to jump into today, as I get into kind of the notes and everything I have here, it has to do with pace and offense and all of that. And I talked about it a little bit yesterday when I said maybe we need to pull back on the reins of thinking Chris Finch is going to do a complete overhaul of this offense and make it look like the one in Denver. And maybe he's just here to help them improve a little bit, just as an assistant coach. You know, he's not the associate head coach. He's not second in command here. And, you know, certainly I think as the season evolves, you'll see more of it. But things from, players, Ian Clark and others today, Alvin Gentry as well, really kind of mentioned that they're not putting in something brand new. And starting with what Alvin Gentry said, it has to do with how short training camp and preseason is. And, they've shortened preseason. They've started the NBA season earlier to allow for more rest during the season, just basically stretch it out, less back-to-backs, things like that, four games, 5 nights, what have you, 3 games in 4 days, different things. So just kind of space it all out a little bit more and create some rest and a better product on the court. But that does put coaches in a bit of a bind. Gentry said he's not thrilled with this because he's got less time and it's not a veteran team that he said he hasn't had them for 5 years where he'd trust them. And sure, let's play 3 preseason games. And it really is going to be 3 preseason games because the Pelicans do play Memphis in their final preseason game. Then they play them on opening night just a couple of days later. You think either team's going to put out their real starters and show you anything that you're going to see in that opening night game? No, it's going to be a time for reserves. That's one you can probably not tune into. I don't even think they're televised, actually. It's 2017, and we can't get every preseason game televised, and I have no idea why. Not that it matters, but still, kind of important thing you would think just with the 24-hour nature of sports coverage. I digress. But they have 3 preseason games to figure this all out, plus 7 days of training camp. That's not a lot. That's basically 14 practices, 3 games. You're not going to install a brand new offense. You need to do little bit by little bit. So anything that Chris Finch does put in right now are just going to be minor actions and not anything brand new. It's still going to be this, same offense that Alvin Gentry's wanted to run with the Pelicans for a little while. And he said as much. He said they want to be a rhythm and flow team and not call a lot of plays. This is very different than, say, a Monty Williams coach team where he did call a lot of plays. Think back to when Austin Rivers was here. And part of this is basketball IQ, part of it's other things. Rivers, who's the son of a coach, no less, was often, when he was the starting point guard, looking back at Monty Williams being like, what's the play call? And slowing it down. That's one of the reasons the Pelicans played with such a slow pace under Monty, was he's calling plays kind of all the time there, and they got to look back and get it and all figure out where they need to be, then get in those spots and then go. That's why you didn't see the first real action of the play start until like 15 to 18 seconds had been run off of the shot clock. Again, digressing here, but giving you kind of examples on what to expect. Rhythm and flow, that's what Alvin Gentry wants. So basically still getting out in transition, just kind of moving around off ball. You know, it's not necessarily as much structure there. They have certain things they want to do and that they're going to be focusing on. But largely it's going to be up to these players to go out and do this. And I think maybe this is one of the reasons they were so high on bringing Rajon Rondo in, a guy who can get these people in their spots, who can organize an offense, even if he's not that as good as he once was. He can still coordinate things and can still get the ball to those guys in those spots. So I think that's one of the reasons why everyone's been praising his basketball IQ and really calling him the floor general, because he's going to be the one out there making this kind of all happen to get the offense rolling, especially if they're trying to play in a rhythm and flow style and be that rhythm and flow team. I'm going to say this ad nauseum probably today. I'm going to just annoy all of you that Alvin Gentry wants them to be. And then it was interesting because, you know, I think it was Ian Clark, I forget who it was now, talked about how, you know, Davis and Cousins being on the court at the same time actually help this team play in transition and score buckets in transition, because they're so dynamic in their skill sets. They're bigs who can handle the ball really well. They can dribble. They can run with the ball. You know, they're not just, it's not Omer Asik, you know, with the ball, basically, is how you should think of it, or even Shaq with the ball. But these guys can get out there and run, and so instead of looking for a guard passing the ball to him and then the transition starting, wasting about a second or two, they can just go. The wings and the backcourt players can just start bursting downfield in a full-on sprint because they know these bigs can run down with the ball, then get him, or make a crazy outlet pass, something alongside like that Kevin Love can kind of do. Boogie has a similar capability. So all of these guys can kind of get out and just run down court and get the numbers advantage in transition and get on that fast break, and, you know, have the three-on-twos, knowing they can get a pass from one of these bigs as opposed to it needing to go to a guard first and slowing down the transition. I think this is the offense you're really going to see in the beginning. More transition, smarter shots. Don't forget, Davis said they're trying to eliminate those long twos this coming season, and they're going to really put in more of the Chris Finch stuff later. So I think to start the year, you can run a three-guard lineup alongside Davis and Cousins, and this is starting to shed light on what this team's going to look like. It's going to evolve over the course of the season, of course, but we can at least kind of glean what they're going to look like this opening 10 games or so, which is where they really need to get out into a hot start. And frankly, it's just going to be a lot of what we saw last year, just better. And then Cousins echoed this in media availability yesterday as well, where he basically said, like, yeah, you know, he and Davis have great chemistry. The problem was kind of just figuring out where they each needed to be. So in a pick and roll situation where they're double screening for a guard, who's the one that pops out and who's the one that rolls when you're doing this in the flow of the offense, that rhythm and flow? It's not a design play. Who's going to pop? Who's going to pick? Or who's going to roll? They need to figure this out so they're both not rolling or they're both not popping out and kind of mucking up the spacing on the court. If they can just kind of get that down innately, that's where you see this offense open up some and become much more fluid. And again, getting into that rhythm and flow that Alvin Gentry wants to see. Before I keep talking about the offense really quickly, I do want to mention, you know, I don't like to get political on here, and I just largely stay away from that because everyone just ends up yelling at each other and it's never a fun situation. But I am very intrigued in seeing all the discussion about the NFL players and understanding both sides of everything. And one place that's doing a very good job of covering that is the Locked On NFL podcast. Make sure you give it a listen. They're covering every aspect of this, talking about both sides, kneeling, not kneeling, what have you. And it's really interesting to hear some very thoughtful takes on it, which is not really what's normally out there right now. So definitely give a listen to the Locked On NFL podcast.
Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
So before I switch gears to some different players, Alvin Gentry also gave some insight on maybe how Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins are going to be used. Last year, they were kind of staggered a little bit where both would be in, then Cousins would come out, leaving Davis on the court. Davis would sum out, Cousins would come back in, play with the second unit. And the goal seemed kind of to put at least one of them, even though this didn't always happen, on the court for all 48 minutes of the Pelicans games. I don't know if that's... So before I get to it, that makes a lot of sense. They're your best players. You have these two bigs that sometimes need some space from each other. And Cousins even said it yesterday after practice, where he said, you know, when Davis would leave, I would have a lot more room to work in the paint and under the basket and do a little bit, you know, just play a little bit more maybe dynamically, because everything would open up some. And again, this is natural and we saw it happen, and you would expect this to be the case. So always, you know, it's okay. But, you know, it makes sense to have at least one of them on the court, and they work well when the other one isn't out there. I don't know if that's going to be the case this year when you listen to what Gentry said the other day. And basically he said they need to take advantage of teams that are playing small, which is a lot of teams right now, and to have Davis and Cousins out there together as much as possible. You've got to wonder then if that means they're going to be as staggered as much as last season. I know the Pels saw Cousins and they saw that he worked best in like 8 minute spurts, and then after 8 minutes, whether it was a conditioning thing or whatever, his play would start to decline, and so they'd sub him out, get him some rest, put him back in for another 8 minute spurt. And that was partially why they were breaking these two guys up on their time on the court, to kind of rest one and get the most out of them from that. This year though, you know, maybe now that Cousins is slimmed down and in much better shape, and Gentry said he's seen Cousins move better than he has in the past, I don't know if that's what this team's going to do. If they want to punish teams for going small against them, and they say they're these two bigs and their height and their different abilities are their biggest advantage, playing them both together at the same time kind of makes the most sense, and it seems like that's what they're going to do. That's one thing I'm really going to be having my eye on in preseason is, do they stagger him and keep one out for the all 48 minutes, or are they going to just keep them out there both together and forego that and know they might get burned in a couple minutes here and there, but they think it's going to lead to better production when they're both on the court and just be a better overall factor from the team. Something to keep in mind as we start getting to these preseason games, first one being on October 3rd, like 6-7 days away. This is flying on by. All right, moving on through training camp updates. I want to talk about some of the other guys that we don't get to talk about as much since we've been so focused on Davis and Cousins. And one of these guys here is definitely going to be Dante Cunningham. And on the first day of training camp, he spoke to the media a little bit and basically said he's not really concerned about starting, and he wants to be... All NBA players are never concerned about starting. I don't know how true that part is. What they're mainly concerned about is making sure they're out there finishing games. That part is true. And, you know, Cousins said he wants to be out there finishing these games with the starters. And, again, I think this is just going to be a kind of by committee thing. So far, Cunningham has played with the Pelicans starters of Rondo, Holiday, Davis, Cousins. We've seen Cunningham out there. Ian Clark has also played out there a little bit. So has Etuan Moore. And Darius Miller. It's going to kind of be by committee, and there's pros and cons of all of this. Darius Miller, you want out there to be shooting. It allows Dante Cunningham to play play the forward position a little bit and be a backup big then, and not have to worry about where those other minutes are going or who's going to be the third big. And I think that's going to be a very good thing for the Pels, especially if they can get anything out of Miller. And we talked about him yesterday on the podcast as well. But some of these other guys, and Etuan Moore, this team thinks very highly of him. But I don't think it's mainly for the defensive aspect of it. I think that's more they're going to use him just as a shooter, a court spacer. He's very reliable. You can see that Alvin Gentry has a lot of trust in him, and that's something that's very important to this Pelicans coaching staff, that they have trust in these guys if you want to get on the court. It's one of the reasons we don't see Diallo. It's just he's young. He doesn't have that kind of built-in advantage of being a trusted vet yet. But another name that kind of came out today, yesterday, from Alvin Gentry was Tony Allen. And in media day, he said, don't expect Tony Allen to play, you know, 30 minutes a game, 25 minutes a game. It sounds like he's very much going to be on the lower end of minutes when it comes to the guards here. But he did mention he's great at defending on the perimeter and the wing position. And he sees, you know, he mentioned they have guards, wings, bigs, and he sees Tony Allen as a wing, not necessarily as a guard. And he can, you know, take care of a lot of those elite wing scorers and at least slow them down. So depending on certain nights, I think you might see Tony Allen get a start here and there, along with these other guys out there on the court as well, because of what he brings to the table, being able to do that with the defensive ability. And this is still very much what the Pelicans want their identity to be, kind of defensively. They're going to be, you know, certainly happy if they're known as the big team. They want to get out and run, but they are still very high emphasis placed on them defensively and maintaining that top 10 defensive ranking that they had last season. And Tony Allen in minutes at, you know, three guard lineup certainly is going to give that to you. So it's going to be, you know, we're still not sure what the rotation is. I don't think it's going to be by committee all season. I think they're going to try and go into this and someone's going to kind of just separate themselves and get that starting spot, at least to be out there for the opening tip, even if they don't stay out on the court for an incredibly long time after that. I think it's just you want to have some cohesiveness and people knowing their roles, accepting their roles, and playing within those roles as opposed to kind of rotating people around all the time. You don't want different starting lineups. We learned this 2 years ago when the Pelicans had a 42, something like that, different starting lineups, and isn't going to be a good thing anyway at all. So certainly you have to expect that someone will kind of settle in, but the rotation, and if they get kind of a quicker hook in the first quarter of games, won't, you know, that'll change basically. We're still waiting to see a lot about this. But again, things I'm watching when we start hitting, you know, more of training camp and preseason, as I'm like insanely distracted in my house right now, is going to be, you know, these bigs and getting kind of out there and running and not this brand new Chris Finch style. And who's really in that small forward spot and how is that rotation going to work? We can try and predict it now, but I think it'd be kind of premature to do so. I don't think they're going to stick to it for any extended period of time, at least until around midseason, when I think we kind of know what the makeup of this team is, and then they can kind of go from there. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Don't forget, rate the podcast 5 stars on iTunes. It makes a difference. Leave a comment. I'll read them. If you want me to answer something on there, that's a great way to put it in. Of course, you can always ask me on Twitter at Nola Jake, and also follow the podcast on Twitter as well at Locked On Pels. You get a second, give it a like on Facebook. I throw up articles on there on occasion, so it's a great way to get some more in-depth. See and read something different than what I'm talking about here on the podcast. And there's going to be some other news coming with Locked On Pelicans very soon, at least hopefully, that we can start announcing and getting you all the content and the best way to keep up with your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans. So thank you all for listening today, listening to just kind of updates on training camp, kind of a grab bag of notes on different things. I'm your host, Jake Madison, and I'll be back with you all next time.